Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners, we got fun today. We have Bree and her wife, Addie. Now, Bree is much more brave than I am because I'm not bringing my wife on the podcast. I'm just saying, like, I am not that brave. But they have said they would volunteer to come in here, and we're going to talk about love and money and couples and money management as a couple. And you've heard a little bit of the stories because, like, we talked about some chicken nuggets a few episodes back, if you've been listening well. We'll probably talk about chicken nuggets today, too. Fun things there. But Addie, nice to have you and have you join. Like, we never even mentioned your name before. So, like, it's like a celebrity joining us.
Yeah, it's fun to be here. It's definitely been a journey. Past year, we're coming up on our one-year anniversary. So I guess it's just, I'm happy to be here finally.
And you've never listened to this either.
I don't know what this podcast is about. And so I'm kind of, let's say I'm in the blind. I don't know what to expect. I wasn't briefed on what to expect today. So,
yeah, what you're missing is Bree literally went to Addie and was like, hey, you want to be on our podcast? She's like, okay. Like,
that was it.
I did say it was about combining finances and love and money. But beyond that, I didn't really describe. Also, I prefer that you don't listen to the podcast. You can just hear me in person all the time.
So my wife has started listening to the podcast, and I'm not sure if I like it or not. And like the other day, I'm in my office and I'm hearing my voice in the kitchen. And I'm like, oh no, no, stop. Like, you need some headphones or something. Like, just, yeah. It's okay. Addie, it's up to you if you want to listen to this or not. But before we get into you as a couple, I got to ask Addie about Bree, because why not? Because, you know, we got you here. We had just recorded a session. We talked about head trash and other things. And you've seen Bree grow over the past year or so. What do you think has been the biggest change you've seen in Bree?
Not to sell her short on other things she's worked on before, but I think she has a real passion for this. This is like a real drive. She doesn't complain about the work she's doing for Child Free Wealth and in finance in general. That doesn't mean she doesn't have struggles. It's a really hard industry to get into, but she doesn't complain about those struggles. She takes them head on and tries to make the most out of everything. And I think compared to past careers, like, sometimes when things got tough, I think you didn't necessarily find the fun in it still. Whereas with this, you find the fun in it even when it is a struggle, which is really cool to see.
That is what we want to hear. Now, I didn't pay Addie for that, but I probably should have. But we actually want our clients, our people, to enjoy what they do. And even on the bad days, like, yep, I want to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. We try to model that. Addie, do not talk about how much she complains about me. I understand, like, you know, that, but, you know. And also, just to take you behind the scenes. So I've been working with Bree and Addie on their financial plan for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, something like that.
Yeah. About that.
Mm-hmm. And when we started, Bree had like a budget on everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A number on everything, was kind of managing it all. But let's be real, you two weren't really talking about finances together. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
We were arguing about finances together.
I said talking.
We weren't talking though.
Good call.
What was the biggest arguments?
I think it was the timing of everything. Just merging our finances and how that was going to work, because we are polar opposites in how we manage money, in that one of us is 100% committed to managing money. And myself, I have never created a budget in my life or even attempted to do any of that. It was just an overall lack of understanding, I think. And I think my insecurities around money kind of, it brought forth a lot of hardship in trying to combine finances, because it's like, not only did I not understand my own finances, but now it's like I have somebody coming in who has total understand and control their finances, and we have to just push it all together and somehow make it work.
And by the way, there's no perfect answer on this one. All right. You know, my wife and I do all the finance stuff, and I try to help her understand it. And some days she does. But I'll be honest, she doesn't participate in it much. Luckily, we don't have a lot of fights about it, but it's not the right solution either. Like, there's no perfect solution on couples and money. I'm just calling that out. If you are a couple listening to this and you like, hey, we've got it all perfect, I don't believe you. It's like, somebody in there is not. No, I mean, there are a few. I've seen couples that do great, but and you two got married just about a year ago.
Yeah, so we're recording this in December, and by the time this podcast comes out, we will just have celebrated our 1 year anniversary. So,
did you do finances together before you got married?
No, we were everything split like right down the middle. We moved in together after being together for like 3 months, and we've been together for 6 years now. So we've been living together quite a while, but it was all your money, my money, and then we split rent in half, and then groceries, or we'd like take each other out, but we did not combine anything.
Yeah, we call it the yours, mine, and ours. Yeah, we got the three budgets, but it was like, we all are our own world and good luck.
Yeah.
Now, did you two have like the pre-marriage, like, yeah, let me show you each other's credit score moment, or like talk about finances?
I think so. One of us, me, was coming into this marriage with a lot of debt. And I didn't hide it. I didn't try to hide it. I was very transparent about it before we even, I mean, pretty early on in our relationship. It just, the debt I do have, it's not credit card debt, fortunately. I mean, obviously, debt isn't great. It was necessary for the industry I was going into. And so it basically all my educational debt and then a car loan.
And let's close out. So Addie's a pilot. There's not really a great way to be a pilot without
dishing
a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went in college and your education was three times the cost of mine.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And by the way, we can have a separate discussion on if it's a good investment or not. And what, you know, it's worked out for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you give somebody the same advice to do it again? Well, we're not going to do that, but that episode, because that's a whole can of worms. But so Bree, you had no debt. Mm-hmm. And you got married in January, and you all of a sudden had debt.
Yeah. And I think we had also gotten a prenup, and you have to list out everything you have. Mm-hmm. And so it was very clear in bold letters, both of our net worth, and that freaked me out.
One of you had a positive number, one had a negative number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why'd you get a prenup?
Well, you had suggested it initially when we first got engaged, and I was against it. And then I thought about it more, and I actually listened to a podcast from The Financial Diet back in February 2020. They did it with a divorce lawyer. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I'll get a prenup, because it sets the ground rules for your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so then in the, you know, God forbid we get divorced, like, I hope that doesn't happen. But we already know the rules. Rules have been established.
And the ultimate truth is, and I've heard this from people too before, everybody has a prenup, whether you create one or not. It's just whether you create it or the state/government creates it for you. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted it to be on our terms.
Yeah.
And by the way, we are big fans of prenups because it gets you a chance to talk through it. The legal document is important, but the conversation that got you there and go through the process is, in my mind, more important. You know, it's kind of like, I prefer to work with couples before they get married. Mm-hmm. And there are some where I'm like, I'm not sure you're going to work, but then we'll work through it. And like, they do great. And I have some that don't. And that's okay either way, because at least we've worked through it. In hindsight, should you two have done more work on this before you got married, or waited until you get married?
I think with my career and how it progressed, I think the marbles just fell where they did. I don't think we really could have changed much more. We probably would have got married a bit sooner had it not been for COVID. Mm-hmm. That kind of derailed our lives quite a bit, just like the rest of the world. But we picked ourselves back up, dusted off, and continued trucking forward.
Yeah. I think like if we would have done more work ahead of time, we would still have to do the work now anyway, because we weren't going to combine things before we were married regardless. Like, that was just a hard and fast rule
for us. And another part of the reason we got a prenup was, if we can't come to an agreement while we love each other and are very excited to get married, how are we going to get one if we're going through a divorce? Like, how are we going to come to a good agreement there? That was part of it. We'd have to do work regardless if we did it before or after. I think if you are okay with combining things sooner, then it probably would have been helpful. But honestly, the timing just worked out really well for us.
That's fair. I will call out one thing. So we did an episode a while back and we were talking with Bree about kind of like what's important in life, all that. And we came to the conclusion that you need to have a wedding reception party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been talking about that.
Yeah.
How'd that conversation go? Like, by the way, for those people listening, go back to the episode. We'll put it in the show notes. Bree has this moment. I mean, I hate to say it, almost broke down on it. It said, that's what I need to be doing, is getting that connection to my family and my friends and having this party. How'd that discussion go?
I haven't pushed back on it at all. I've never been against it. She's brought it up quite a bit over the past 9 months, and I've never once pushed it down. I've always just said, because it would more than likely be back in your hometown, mm-hmm. and so a few states over, and I always said, well, I don't really have any ties there aside from you, so it's kind of, if you plan it, I'm there. I'm just along for the ride. Give me a month notice so I can have work off.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, and I'll do a party here if you want to. I love wedding dances. The one thing about me, good old country music and wedding dances. That is my thing. So I want to have a wedding party for that and to get everybody together and just dance, like really ugly dancing. I'm not a good dancer, but I just enjoy it. That is what I really want to do.
Now, I got to ask, are you guys going to like do this whole choreography for your dance and like?
No, Jay. That is defeats the purpose of ugly dancing. No, it is truly ugly dancing.
I don't dance. I just sit there and watch and go, oh, that looks, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we got married, started putting finance together. And how'd the first kind of 3 to 6 months go of finances together?
I think we could look at it in the 3 month phase and then the 6 month phase, and then where we're at today. I'd say the first couple months were pretty ugly. I think Bree would agree with that. And I personally look back on it and bear some of that responsibility. It was tough for me in the sense of just with the timing of our marriage and everything. I fell into a new job and I was making more money than I've ever made before in my life. And all of a sudden it was just cut in half for no reason. It's like I'd see every paycheck come through cut in half. And then the half it wouldn't be like she gets 50%, I get 50%. It would be like our relationship gets all the money. And then we get each a little stipend from that money. And it all became, so like my rent, I always joke, like my rent doubled and my paycheck got cut in half.
Oh, you weren't joking. You were dead serious.
I was dead serious about yeah. it. It was just really hard at first. Again, because I didn't have, my debt was high enough that it felt insurmountable at the time. I wasn't working with Jay or any financial planner of any sort. And I guess it's just, I wanted to take the mindset of if I don't look at it or worry about it, it doesn't exist and it's gone. Like it's not my problem, which is horrible. I'm sure the banks would be drooling at that mindset, collecting interest for the next 30, 40 years. But I would say the first 3 months were definitely the ugliest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, thinking about it over the term of 30 years was very real because you had refinanced one of your student loans back in 2020, mm-hmm. and it ended up being a 30-year term, and interest rate on it was really good, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, you went with a fixed rate, which at the time seemed high, but today we're, like,
yeah.
raising the stars that mm-hmm. you did that.
Yeah.
But it was hard, and I was like, no, like, we want to do these things and have fun. We have to take care of this and create a plan, and the anxious part of me that wants control did not like the fact that we weren't creating a plan. So that caused some arguments.
Yeah. And just to add to it, Bree started a new job right at that point too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You did. Like, you literally finished training the week before our wedding.
Yep.
And then I started a new job and we had just moved across the country 4 months earlier.
It was 2023. It was quite the year.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, a lot of transformation, I'd say. I mean, no matter how ugly and combative, really, those first 3 months could have been, or were, I just never, we never fell out of love through it all. It always, did you fall out?
No, I didn't, but that was sweet to say.
I was just like, oh, it scared me. I was like, oh.
No.
I guess we continued pushing forward and we sought help when we felt help was needed. And I think that was the big difference maker, because once you get outside help to help with your finances, and not even to plug Child Free Wealth, it could be any financial planner, or financial assistant, or just
their
marriage counselor, anything. That third party being brought into the mix as a mediator maybe helps you to see the other side, to see where the other person is coming from and maybe why they feel that way, and kind of rationalizes things. At least that's what I found moving forward.
Yeah, and I think you're totally right. And, you know, it doesn't have to be when things are going wrong either. Like we've worked with therapists before, couples therapists, and just to gain tools in the toolbox of marriage and relationships and life, mm-hmm. and both individually and together. And that's been super helpful, having Jay to act as like the referee sometimes when we're arguing about chicken nuggets is really helpful, because mm-hmm. we didn't need to have an argument about $7 chicken nuggets, like, to the point where we did.
We'll get to the $7 chicken nuggets in a second. Hold on. So I got to ask you this, Addie. So Bree, I had said to her, I said, look, you work for Child Free Wealth. I'm happy to be your financial planner as a employee benefit, I'll call it. I don't know. Making it up. And did she come to you like, hey, let's meet with Jay and talk about our finances? That's a cool thing to do. Like, I seem to remember the first meeting, she like kind of dragging you to a little bit.
Thinking back, yeah, she kind of laid it all out, and she never forced me to a meeting. I will say that. I came on my own accord. She laid out the reasons, and I kind of went with that. I was kind of at wit's end at that point with combining our finances, because I felt so disconnected from it all, because I just didn't have a lack of understanding that it was to the point like, it can't get any worse. I mean, and so that was kind of my motivation to come. And I guess just kind of see too, especially like as my year progressed, and like as income changed throughout the year, largely for the better, it just made sense at that point to start coming, because I think, I don't know, maturity, adulting, right?
We call it forced adulting.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. And when we meet with clients, and I did the same with Bree and Addie, we often do what we call MMS, a money management system. So it's kind of like, just breaks money into must, shoulds, coulds, and wants. And Bree had a budget. I didn't ask, let's see the budget. Let's build this together, the three of us, and look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. And Annie, I remember you looking at the numbers going, huh, well, that's kind of where that goes. And I got to pay this. And by the way, student loans were just restarting, like the payments were starting, you know, like, and the question we really got to is kind of like, all right, what do you want your life to look like? What do you want your goals to be? And together it was like, all right, we want a different future. By the way, to do that, we need to get out of debt. We need to build an emergency fund. We need to do all that stuff, which is different than like just dumping all the money in the joy pock bucket and be like, where'd it go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I would say, yeah. I mean, every month, at least in the beginning, it was kind of easy at first because I started making headway on debt. Now, talking to Bree about this, psychologically, I took the worst approach that you could. Well, I took the all or nothing approach that you could to debt. I attacked my biggest loan first. And from a psychological standpoint, if you do that and fail, you're kind of left where you started. But if you do it and succeed, everything else is downhill from there. And fortunately for me, I'm just about done with the big loan. We set a goal of getting it done by the end of this year. Come up just short.
I don't think so. We underestimated.
That's fair. We did underestimate, but we'll see. We had some unexpected medical bills and car bills come up within the last month. So
I think we can do it. I'm not worried.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm picking up any more days, so I'm tired.
And by the way, neither Bree or Addie are giving themselves credit, so I got to go, you know, toot their own horn here. Here's what actually happened. We went through all this stuff, talked about debt, and Addie had kind of a moment like, huh, we could actually get rid of the debt and then do fun stuff. Now, by the way, at the same time, Bree sends me an email. This house down the street went on the market, and I love it.
You know how I was like, no. By that house like every day. I'm just hoping that the people want to sell it.
A week or two before that house went on the market too, Jay had a very, very stern conversation that we shouldn't be looking at houses. and that this shouldn't be on our mind. Meanwhile, Missy over here is on realtor.com like every other day.
Listen, every other house. Okay, that is the only house I like. This is the one house that I've seen that I'm like, oh man, like that is a perfect layout for what we want and to entertain and all of that. No.
And by the way, I'm going to flip that and say, okay, cool. If we get out of debt, we can buy that house.
I know. But now I know. I know that there's a house in our neighborhood where I want to be that ticks all the boxes.
By the way, the challenge there is not to go buy that house then when you can't afford it. Like, and that's where people naturally want to do that. And the way I look at it is houses, on average, will go up for market every 5 to 7 years. So 5 years from now, you'll be in a great place to do that. What then happens is we do the math. We figure out, you know, adding can pick up extra shifts or, you know, and extra hours working through. And if we do this, then when I put that towards this, and, you know, all of a sudden they start setting goals and making huge progress, putting loads of money towards debt.
Yeah.
I mean, I've over half my debt this year, I think. And in about 5 months, I should say, because we started 6 months. We started in June.
Yeah.
December 1st. So really 5 months, just about half my debt is gone.
And we like save money before that and put some turn. We're paid off another one. So yeah. Most of our money goes towards that.
Yeah, pretty much all. Any overtime, extra hours for either of us. We're not, as some big financial influencer would say, the only time we see the inside of a restaurant is when we're picking up extra hours. Not entirely true. We still got to eat and have fun.
So, all right. So I get this, you know, they're making progress. I get this random text or chat from Bree. The world's coming to an end. We're going to get divorced over this debt.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck happened? We went from all good to the world's coming to an end.
Yep.
Now, in a previous episode, we talked a little about this. This is where the chicken nuggets come in. Addie, you want to tell your version of the story?
Have you already told your version?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'll go first. It was a lovely night in September, and for one reason or another, I was craving chicken nuggets. I think it was September 27th. It was close to the end of the month. It was over budget, but I don't know. I can't remember what we were even eating with it, but I wanted chicken nuggets to like, because I think it was some sort of Asian dish and they would have mixed in well, like a sweet and sour chicken or something. And it just would have been simple. We didn't have anything really defrosted and ready to cook. And I was like, well, why don't we just run to the grocery store and grab some chicken nuggets? And in Bree's defense, I will fast forward a few years in our relationship, or maybe like 5, 6, even just after we met about 5.5 years ago. I had the tendency, again, in never budgeting or planning even for grocery shopping, I would grocery shop almost every second or third day and buy food for a specific meal, maybe cook with some of it, save some of it, hopefully use it in another meal down the road, or just let it go bad in the fridge and have to throw it away. And Bree, for the past 6 years, has been fighting that tendency in me to help us save money and be even more eco-friendly and whatnot. And so I've been struggling with that dynamic. That being said, that was kind of like the precursor to wanting to run to the grocery store as we were driving by, because we had driven around, I think we were looking at the autumn leaves that day where we live. The leaves were changing colors, so it was really beautiful. So we did a car ride just around the area looking at the scenery. And we drove past the grocery store, and I was like, can we grab the chicken nuggets? We're right here. I mean, we're literally driving by. And she's like, no. But we were driving away from our house, so we still had to drive past the grocery store one more time. And so I kept on pushing and pushing for the chicken nuggets and arguing, we make enough money. Like I said, I'm a professional pilot. We're comfortable. We, even with my debt and the progress we've been making, we can afford what I argued was I think I said $6 or $7 bag of chicken nuggets. I ended up looking up. It was like $8 or $9. Again, pinching pennies here. We could afford the chicken nuggets. I think a lot of it, as Jay kindly pointed out in the coming days, once we met, it wasn't about the chicken nuggets. It was almost more about control. And I think Bree saw it as me drifting back to my old ways and she didn't want it to happen. Whereas I saw it as, we didn't defrost any food, we failed to plan, and we're in a little bit of a pinch. Why don't we just buy some chicken nuggets, Just Bear nuggets or whatever, that we could toss on a cookie tray and have a simple protein for that night. I even offered just the little pieces of fried chicken from the deli, just some sort of chicken from the grocery store that was already cooked and needed very minimal heating.
Okay. Like, seriously, this is a $7 debate, and I get a text that we're going to get divorced. And I'm like, I'll Venmo you $7. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, no, you don't need to Venmo me $7.
I mean, literally, are we talking about $7 or not?
We're talking about old tendencies and old habits die hard.
But yeah, you grocery shop frequently. I grocery shop and plan like I'm stuck on the farm and not going to be able to go to a grocery store for days. That's happened before to me. So it's valid, but that's my nature. It's like, plan everything out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we did a separate episode on head trash, and this is kind of part of the same thing. I'm trying to pull apart the head trash and figure out what the real issue is. We talk about a surface versus structure. The surface is the nuggets. The structure is two different ways of living. We had already gone over our budget. Bree's like, what the heck? We all agreed to this budget. You're not sticking to it. Addie's like, it's $7 and I'm hungry. And it's a huge issue. Yeah, we have to have an emergency meeting and work through this.
Mm-hmm. I sent you an email and it was 9:00. And then you texted me and I was like, first of all, shouldn't you be in bed by now, Jay? Secondly, no, it's fine. I can wait. But.
Right. So now I'm responding back. I'm like, I think we're going to do a media at 9:00 at night because this is a nightmare. So now I'm now riled up about these chicken nuggets. I didn't know any of the facts behind it. All I just know is, world's coming to an end.
Damn.
And we pull it apart. And the actual issue is, when you set a budget, there is a control factor that happens in there. Who's managing the money? Who gets to make decisions? We're doing it together. But, and then we call it pocket money, the spending money that you have. Some people call it allowance. I don't like using that word because that has control function to it. There's all these things. And if we don't pull apart what the real issue is, we're going to be still fighting about nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, we actually had another fight about ear pods, shoes, makeup, hair. None of these are real issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, and that's not to discount that they can be, but in our case, they are not.
Yeah. I mean, so that night in the meet, or the, I think the following day or a couple of days, I think I went on a trip for work. So it was a few days later when we actually finally sat down. Cooler heads prevailed that night. We eventually, I don't even remember what we ended up having for dinner.
I have no idea.
Wasn't chicken nuggets though. If we go back to when we first started working with Jay, our very first meeting, I remember Jay told me, he's like, for this to work, you will need to be an active participant and make decisions in every financial, at least you got to be participating in the budget. And I think in the first 5 months, maybe the first month I was there, I participated. And then the second, third, fourth month, it kind of faded away into the background and Bree kind of came back into control of the budget, which then led to more control issues, which is why all this stuff started coming up, because I, again, making a comfortable amount of money, see all this money, I see the paychecks because they come from my company, and I'm like, where's all this money going? It just doesn't even seem right that we could be making all this money, and I wasn't participating in the budget, so I couldn't see or I didn't know where it was going. And so then, after our meeting this past, I guess it would have been end of September, early October, it was determined that I would have to step back in and take control of the budget again.
Well, hold on. No, not, take not control of the budget again. Actually doing the budget.
Actively participate in the budget work. Yeah, that's the...
Yeah, you manage it now.
I manage the budget. And I think that's helped because now I see the day-to-day expenses and participate and categorize. And it really helps. I remember the first time I looked at it and I was just like, oh. Okay, now I see where it's coming from. And I'm like, and it's even like for people who have never really worked with the budget before, especially if all the money's accounted for, it's like, oh, well, now we have an unexpected expense here. And my favorite word, Bree hates it. I'm like, well, where are the discretionary funds?
Oh, yeah. This is always a question. What about my discretionary funds? I'm like, you spent it.
There is no discretionary funds. Yeah. It's all accounted for. If we have an unexpected car bill came up last month, money has to come from somewhere else to account for that. Now that I'm able to see this on paper and actively participate in the process, it's like, okay, this makes a lot more sense. Now I see where our ends are meeting and why we have the budget we have.
Yeah. And by the way, that was a trick that we tried, which was, hey, let's swap who's doing the budget and see how this goes. By the way, I've done that one before and it's not worked. And I've done it and it's worked. Like, it's like one of those, like, you never know. But obviously for you, Addie, it's helped you learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The concept of it wasn't lost. I just had to find the motivation to actually sit down and do it. And I think the lack of understanding over the past lifetime have definitely led to me being able to sit down and crunch the numbers. I mean, I look back to my flight training days and I was so dedicated to managing my logbook and making sure all my flight hours were accurate, which is just managing a different type of number and currency, really, when you look at my industry. And so I think it kind of, like, it became easier to stomach handling or managing the budget with no previous experience.
Yeah. Like, one thing that we do all the time, and I've told clients, like, yeah, it's fine if you want to buy something it's not budgeted for, but then you need to say, where is that money going to come from? And I've said that to you before, or you said that to me, and you're like, okay, where is that going to come from? I'm like, oh, yeah. We have to, like, look. No.
Not the discretionary funds.
Yeah. Not non-existent discretionary funds.
You know, and you're normal. I mean, my wife and I have had this debate. I like gaming and I have a gaming laptop and our dog knocked it down and it actually, like, the screen flops in the wind because he smashed it. So I have, like, a C-clamp holding my laptop together. It's pieced together like a little piece of garbage. And I've been using it forever. She's like, how about we just buy you a new laptop? And I'm like, no, it works. I can make it work. And she goes, well, I just got to check in for X. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, use that for the laptop. I'm like, that one's already spent. That one went to this. It got saved. It got that. She goes, but I just brought in like this. And I'm like, it's all planned. It's all out. 2 years we've been fighting about this. I'm like, it's fine. Yeah, like, I'm also just being cheap and don't want to replace it. I'm going to replace it at some point. But these are the things we fight about. And that's not truly a fight, but it's this. Where's that money going? It sounds like, Addie, you found it at least.
I did, yeah. I mean, just the other day, Brie told me I'm not too poor to buy new socks.
Yeah.
My work socks were on their last limb. And finally, they're pretty bad. And I've just been trying to save money. So I've been cheaping out on getting new socks. And I mean, they work. I don't have blisters on my feet or anything. Brie finally looked at me and she's like, you can afford socks. And I think some of this comes from the mindset I'm trying to commit to the full-on budget and attacking the debt, and some necessities sometimes sacrifice in that, like buying new work socks.
Yeah, but the socks are becoming like a martyrdom thing, okay? Let's be real on that. Oh, I can't afford socks. Woe is me. Like, I'm just going to have these holes in these socks. Look at how bad this one is. Maybe we can sew it up.
Mm-hmm. I've already sewed plenty of socks, but like the heels were gone completely. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just buy a new one, for God's sake.
Yeah, call yourself out on that one. All right, one more thing I want to share with the audience. You have a thing you call Wednesdays for the Wives.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had that for a while. What is that and how does that work?
What we do primarily Wednesdays, but sometimes it's different days. Just once a week, we go through and we sit down. And the first thing we do is we rate our week from 1 to 5. Like, mm-hmm. How many stars would we give it? Kind of just give a check-in. We each individually do this.
It's two categories on the sheet, one for my side and one for her side.
Yeah. Do that to see how our weeks go. And then the next thing is our high and low. We each share high and low for the week.
I don't even, I would have to see the sheet.
Oh, okay.
Do you get tasks or like to-dos?
Yeah, we do tasks. Mm-hmm. Something, we have an action item every week. So how did the action item from last week go? Did we accomplish it? Do we still need help with it? And then we assign new action items. These can be things like booking our dog for boarding or, you know, paying medical bills
ordering a new tabletop. Yeah.
Or we're ordering a new tabletop that we just did this morning.
Yeah.
Just anything that needs to get done. So that way we're both very clear on, okay, this is what needs to get done. Then we do gratitude, something we're grateful for. That is really helpful to go through.
Here's the sheet. We have, of course, we talked about the stars process, the highs and lows, gratitude, the weekly. So last week's action items, a new action item. We say item, sometimes it's items. It kind of varies just based on where we're at in our life. We do a budget check-in. And I've found the budget check-in to really help. A lot of times, this is right at the meeting list. Like, I don't know, I guess it's working, like blah, blah, blah. But when you actively participate, when we both actively participate in the budget, I think it's a really good opportunity to sit here and talk about things and maybe put stuff out in the open. Like, hey, this is how I, so we're not blindsiding each other with stuff. It's like, hey, like, I want to be looking at this over the next couple of months and figuring out a way to make this work and kind of creating that plan. And I'm in like in a very civil atmosphere, because when we sit down and do this, this doesn't really ever cause a fight with us. It's just, it's very calm. And the idea is just to see where we're at, especially with my career. I'm gone a lot, over half the month I'm on the road. And so I think this sheet enables us to really stay connected, even with all the disconnections that exist in our relationship and in our life. Of course, then the I need support from you with categories. So like just where we're struggling and may need help from each other, maybe, because sometimes, again, being apart, we don't always see that in the day to day. And then just an I love you because, which is always cute. I feel like the answer is always different. We always find different reasons.
Yeah, and I think it's like a good way for us to go through and make, like, we start with good things, we do the tougher stuff in the middle, and then we end with good things too.
So we're doing the shit sandwich.
Yes.
We can swear. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, we can swear.
Okay. It's our podcast. What are they going to fire us?
Yeah. I don't know. The FCC might come after you.
We'll link it in the show notes. It's a great tool, just a good way to check in. I love weekly budget meetings. Our rules are the person that does the budget can do it, but the other person has to make one change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your one suggestion, one something just to be part of it. Mm-hmm. I love the concept. It doesn't have to be Wednesdays, but it just happens to work well Wednesdays for the wives.
I don't remember the last time we actually did it on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's been like Fridays lately.
Yeah. It's just all variant on the schedule. Sometimes we've done it over FaceTime.
Yeah.
Like if we're apart, we've just tried to do it once a week is what's important.
That works. And Addie, I'm going to let you have the last word. What is the one advice you'd give to a newlywed couple trying to put finances together in their first year? Because you just did it.
Be patient. Honestly, looking back on the past 10, 11 months, I can almost laugh. And maybe it helps because I just read The Gap and the Gain, but we made it work. It wasn't pretty in the present, but it has just worked out. And again, there's a lot of debt. It wasn't like I had $5,000 or $10,000 debt, half of it's gone. It was a substantial amount of debt, like 30-year loan amount of debt. I think just being patient, creating a plan, sticking to that plan, admitting when you don't know what's going on, because I found my lack of knowledge in the whole process was an insecurity within myself. And then once somebody's insecure, I would get defensive. And as Ruud always say, defense is the first act of war. I don't know who officially said that, but it's...
I got that from somebody.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true. And I think just being patient, being understanding and open-minded, that... It won't be easy, but if you work together and do the right steps now, in 9 or 10 months or however long it takes you, you'll look back and you'll be able to laugh. Or your finances were separate and just starting to talk about coming together in finances.
I like it. Well, thank you for coming. We'll have to have you check back in like a year. We'll see if the story has changed, who's doing the budget, if we have more chicken nuggets or something.
Yeah. So the big freezer might help with the chicken nuggets.
Yeah. We'll buy some tonight.
Yeah, I'll send you the $7.
Okay. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going.
follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.